Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We now dip into the next fascinating topic in halacha, and this is the education of children, which is Simon Kuf Samech Hey 165 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's worthwhile noting that this, we often think of this as a philosophical discussion. It is important to know that there are halachas that surround this as well. Most people don't get to the halachas because they're hidden deep in your dad and the Rambam in sections that people don't usually get to. But it's really important to know that there are halachas. The Kitzur, of course, is only doing a summary of some of the halachas. And for us, of course, it's a lifetime of work as parents and grandparents to continue this work. But nonetheless, it's important to know the basic frameworks, which is what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is going to be doing. We're going to look at a few basic concepts over here. We're starting off with the notion of chinuch, of training in mitzvahs. The word chinuch means to dedicate or to train. When the Mishkan was established, it was chinuch hamikdash, or they're getting it ready to be ready, and that's the same idea with chinuch. Is we're getting our children habituated, ready to be contributing Jewish adults in the world, to allow them to steward them to the point where they should be living the lives that our tradition is worthy of. And a few basic questions. Who is responsible for the mitzvah of training of chinuch of children in mitzvahs? So it's both the father and the mother, according to most of the poskim. What is the mitzvah of chinuch? So the way the Kitzur frames it is every parent is obligated to train their children in mitzvahs, both biblical and rabbinic. So getting their children to want to drink that Kool-Aid, to really live and learn the life of a Torah Jew as a Torah Jew, and this is incredibly important. How should the mitzvahs be taught? So it should be taught according to the child's level of intelligence and understanding. What happens if the words are not as effective in correcting a child's behavior or path? So then, in this case, the Kitzur describes, you know, chastising them perhaps with punishments, even the rod. As well, today corporal punishment is not as effective, and the balance is struck over here between positive encouragement and consequences for action, which is so, so important as well. What the Chinuch does not mention over here, which is very important in the educational theory, is not just what the parent says to do, but what the parent themselves actually do. So much of the time, children do not listen to what we say, but they do what we do. If we don't care about Torah or mitzvahs, we don't care about davening, but we keep telling our children to keep davening because we think it's important, they do. They will become parents who don't care about Torah or tefillah, but they'll tell their children that they should as well. So it's important they do what we do. What moral traits should be particularly emphasized in training our children? So the Kitzur identifies truth, so they should not lie, they should not take false oath. That's really important in finding moral integrity. What value is most important to bringing up children? Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe talks about belief in Hashem and the Torah, and knowing that everything a child, he or she has, is a gift from Hashem. May a parent threaten future punishment? So the Kitzur says no, one should avoid that. Either one should punish them immediately or overlook the offense. He cites a tragic case in Maseches Smachos in which a child was threatened with a very terrifying punishment, but wasn't given away, and the child committed suicide, Rachman al-Litzon, for running away from school. And so this one has to be very careful about the gravity one brings into these punishments. How shall one balance kindness and discipline? This is such a difficult thing. And that is based on the pasuk, which says Yamin Makarev Usmol Docha, that the right hand brings close and the left hand pushes away. So we're on. There's a stronger effort to bring closer, and at the same time, an effort of discipline, which is secondary as well. It is important to realize that in our generation, there seems to be too much Yamin Makarev and not enough Smol Docha, that we don't have enough. The children, parents are trying to be buddy-buddy with their children, but they're not setting the boundaries, they're not setting the curfews, they're not making the decisions about the devices that their children are using, or the curfews on those devices, or having their children speak respectfully. These are things that parents do not want to get weighed into, and it is their responsibility to be parents in this way. What should not be used to threaten children? So the Kitzur points out one should not use unclean objects, tummy things. So as an example, you should not say to your children, if you don't do such and such, a dog will attack you, a cat will take you away. You know, there's other psychological issues there too. But in terms of one should not use a tummy item or animal. as a threat for punishment. Our second concept is now age and stage appropriate training. So when should a child be trained in positive mitzvahs? So it depends on the mitzvah. So for instance, if once a child starts understanding Shabbos, they should be trained in Kiddush and Abdullah, meaning as they understand it. At what point should the child be obligated to refrain from prohibitions? So once again, once they understand the meaning of being told that something is forbidden. I will add over here just a point that Kitzur does not make, and that there are some things which are intrinsically are problematic. So as an example, meat and milk. Even though a child may not understand meat and milk, when it's not allowed, so we're going to get that in a second, it's forbidden to give them something which is also, we'll see in a second, but also there's actually a real problem with milk and meat, certainly at least in the first hour, yeah, no matter how young or understanding they are as well. We'll get to that in a moment. When should children be brought to shul? So Kitzur says only when they can be taught to say Amen and participate in the in davening and behave in a respectful and fashion as is appropriate in shul. What about children who disturb the davening? So they should not be brought to shul if they run around and disturb davening. That's not the point of being in shul. When does the age of chinuch end? So interestingly, the Shabura points out that it ends at bar or bat mitzvah. At that point in time, the children should be responsible enough to take responsibility for their own actions. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it continues as a child grows older. Many children need a lot more support and direction and guidance by their parents. May a Jewish kid, a child, nurse from a non-Jewish woman? So technically speaking, yes. But ideally, you should just nurse from a Jewish woman because as a nursing from a Gentile dulls spiritual sensitivity and worsens the temperament. These are things which are concerning. It's interesting that on this topic in actual Shulchan Aruch, we're learning in the Kitzur, in this topic, the Bira Gross points out the reason for our hesitation in this is because by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Miriam saw on the riverbank that the daughter of Pharaoh found Moshe Rabbeinu in the river, she asks for a midwife, and Miriam goes and finds her mother as the midwife. And so the reason this is given, the Midrash is because Pesha asked the Dabir Mashchina, that the mouth which is going to speak with Hashem should not nurse from a non-Jewish woman. That's what is said, and that's what the Vilna Gaon cites as the reason for this hesitation. The question that's asked in this, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes Liyakov on Yoradea, asks on this Bira Gra, but that doesn't make sense because that's Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you're not going to speak with a Shechina mouth to mouth, then perhaps this Isser does not exist. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that when we educate our children, we educate them with the intent that they can be a Pesha Asir Dabir Mashchina. They can be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. And that means to say that the potential is limitless, in fact, as when it comes to children at such a young age. And therefore, we treat them in such a way and therefore are more careful about even who they nurse from as well. What if a Jewish woman is nursing, but she's a mother, but she has to eat forbidden foods because of the illness that she is in? So if it's possible, she should not nurse the children on those days, if it's possible, because of the impact, the spiritual impact on the children. We move to our third concept, and that is children transgressing mitzvahs. May an adult give a child a prohibited food or instruct them to do something forbidden? The answer is no. Even someone who's not the father is forbidden to do so. This is so important. Does this apply to rabbinic prohibitions as well? Yes. According to the most poskim, it is forbidden even for rabbinic issues as well, prohibitions. And this is so important because people don't realize this. That sometimes what happens is that, let's say, the children will leave the lights on in the house or they'll switch them on. You're not allowed to tell the children to switch them off on Shabbos. That's not appropriate. What if a child is ill and needs to eat prohibited food? So a non-Jew must be feed them from food which is only rabbinically forbidden. Obviously, we're not talking about a case of pikuach nefesh. We're talking about a chodesh ein bo slakana, a non-life-threatening disease. But in that case, you should not, as a Jewish person or as a parent, be feeding your child directly forbidden foods. Is a child permitted to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos? So in this case, yes, because the restriction is because the sanctity of the day of Shabbos, and it's not intrinsic in the actual food itself. May a child be given food to eat food outside the sukkah? The answer is no, because this is actually a positive command to eat in the sukkah itself. May a child carry on Shabbos, let's say for a mitzvah, to bring a siddur to shul and there's no eruv? No. And that even under the age of 9, it's forbidden to ask a child to break Shabbos. If a child steals, must the item be returned? So yes, if the object is intact, the item must be returned. If the object is not intact, he's actually, technically speaking, the parent is potter, is exempt from this, but the liyotze yedei shamayim, for the account one has with heaven, one should pay back as a parent. What should a child do when they become older and they sinned? They did things when they were young. There's unfortunately, children do make mistakes and they hurt people and they do things which were untowards. So in that case, a person should do tshuva when they're an adult on the sins they did when they were a child as well. We now look at the fourth concept, which is the concept of Torah education. What is the father's obligation in Torah study for his child? So the Torah tells us, the Torah tells us that a father's obligation to teach his son Torah, his children Torah. What about the next generation? So this includes the Pasuk says you should teach it to your children and your grandchildren, so obligation actually exists intergenerationally. What should be taught when the child begins to speak? So the Torah, the parents should be careful, the father should be careful to teach the child Torah Tzivah L'Moshe L'Morash HaKilas Yaakov and Shema Yisrael, some of the first words that or sentences a child is able to say. This is not just because of cute and putting on the family chat, this is about intrinsically, this should be what the child is going to be experiencing. How should further Torah study proceed? So gradually, the parents should do more and more and teach them more and more as they have the capacity to until they are ready for school. What prerequisites should be for the teacher one hires? So a teacher should be hired who is God-fearing. That's all the Kisser says, a God-fearing teacher. It doesn't talk about degrees, it doesn't talk about erudition, it talks about God-fearing because that's something which is transmitted to the kids more than even the ABCs, Aleph Bases. With what Torah topic should a child formally begin studying? So the minag was always to start in Sefer Vayikra because it says Yavul Toharim Yasku B'Toharas, that the pure children should be involved in the karbonos and the pure things in the world. It's usually very hard at this stage to teach that, but that is part of the original curriculum as well. May you take something a child has found and received as a gift? Can you requisition it? The answer is no, you're not allowed to take a gift or something or a found object that a child themselves found. May a Jewish child be sent to a non-Jew for instruction, for reading or for davening or for trade? The answer is no, and certainly not to a Jew who is a heretic, as there's a danger the child will follow or learn from their ways. Unfortunately, experience has proven this to be all too true. Just before going to the last topic over here, there is somebody I know who's a very special parent who, when his son was getting married, his son was discussing with his father four songs that he was thinking about walking down to the chuppah. He mentioned the three of the songs and he said, there was a fourth one, I can't remember what it was. And his father said, it was such and such a song. So the son said, yes, how do you know that? So the father said, well, I used to sing those four songs to you every night before I put you to sleep. So don't underestimate the power when a child is young of what the parent has to invest in a child. Look at our fifth concept, and that's expectations of Torah teachers. What is required what is the required schedule for a Torah teacher? So listen to this. The Kitzur says he must learn all day and part of the night with a minimal breaks. Only on Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov, and not even if the Beis HaMikdash is being built, should they interrupt as well. Think about that as well. If you look at the Zilberstein system of teaching in Israel, it follows very much this curriculum. I think today we assume that children need much more time, and we give them much lower bars, and they meet the lower bars because we don't give them higher bars, but this is what the children are capable of doing. What is said about a teacher who neglects their duties? This person is cursed as Oror HaIsh. This is a person who does the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a weak hand, with a lazy hand. What are the requirements for a proper teacher? So proper teacher needs to be God-fearing, fluent, accurate, and have also proper health, balance, not excessive eating or fasting, because to maintain a proper sense of self. What are the guidelines for how a teacher may deal with students? So again, no cruelty with a stick or a whip, but in the days of corporal punishment, he talks about a light strap. This obviously refers to just having some degree of accountability in today's day and age as well, which is unfortunately generally lacking in a parent-dominated education system. And what is the rule about teaching new material on Shabbos? So halacha is one should not teach a child new material on Shabbos because it's much harder to sink into new material. Shabbos should be a time for chazara. Halavai that Shabbos should be a time that people use to educate, not just to have fun and play games. With this, we conclude the halachas of Talmud Torah, of chinuch, which is obviously very important to apply to ourselves, to our children, and to our grandchildren. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.